Senhor veio ao seu lado. Mulher que dia bom, calma Deus, fala assim. Ele disse meu filho. Mas se for o que é, se como se der, deixa eu ver. I would like the department to see that with the year over you. As this is one of the year old that they need to do oversight over the agency. I would ask if the trainer, the expert, to do that before I can call the other people.
A very good morning and very good morning and very thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity to give you some brief overview on the oversight responsibilities that we play on this very important new entity or new addition to the department, Chairperson. As the director stated, the Informati CMA, it is actually the very first CMA to be formally established in the country. And obviously there will be a lot more others that will be coming. And we feel very proud as it happens, really to be associated with this new entity, more so because of the function that the institution will be doing on behalf of the department. It will be helping the department in managing water resources within the informatic catchment, meaning that over a given time period, it will take over most of the responsibility with regards to the management of water resources in that section. Without further ado, Chairperson, the following areas of oversight are being performed on this new entity that is the Informatics CMA. The first one, really care, is the monitoring of performance. Now, when we look at how the institution is doing with regards to service delivery, we also look at its operational efficiency. What we mean here, Chair, is we look at whether it is being appropriately staffed in order for it to execute all its intended functions. The third area under monitoring performance is to monitor its financial viability. And I'm sure you are going to hear from them that they got a clean audit, which is actually very exciting. More so for new institutions, that's not normally the case. So it means that we are actually doing a very good job to make sure that indeed in our monitoring we communicate with them on how they are performing financially. The second area that we'll review them on, Chairperson, is on the annual report, which they will be taking into greater detail on how they've gone about developing that annual report. The third area is the review of the business plan. This is a plan that says what is it that they will be doing, for instance, in the current financial year, that is the 2008-2009. So we'll review that business plan to see that, firstly, it's confined with the legislative requirements, and that it is in line with the requirements of the CFMA and any other government requirements. And lastly, we monitor, we got no more random of understanding, wherein we enter into what is it that the ICMA will be doing in relation to what the department will be doing. So that memorandum of agreement is something that will be entered with all the CMAs that will be established as well. The progressive oversight on the informatics CMA, I've already alluded to the issue of the service level agreement, which has been signed between the ICMA and the regional office, that is the Mpumalanga regional office. It was done in August 2007. And I must indicate here, Chairperson, in the committee at large, that it took longer than expected. It took us almost 14 months to have that agreement signed, but we are happy that ultimately it has been signed. So there are clearly defined goals and responsibilities with regards to what the ICMA will be doing vis-à-vis what the regional office will be doing. The second critical area that has been attained now is the secondment of staff from the department, that is the regional office, to the informatics CMA. And the news that we get from the secondary staff is that they said to us they wish they had been transferred a bit long time ago to the ICMA because they seem to understand and have a good conception of what the ICMA is actually doing. The second area Chairperson was the annual report in the financial statement, which we did in a review session working with speak with the ICMA board and various groups here within the department to evaluate the annual report, which has been tabled before the Portfolio Committee of Parliament on the 3rd of October. And so we have evaluated the annual report of Informatics CMA. The third area is the transfer of seed funding. You are aware, Chairperson, that at the moment Informatics doesn't generate its own revenue, meaning that it depends on the seed funding that gets allocated to it from the department. That has been finalized, and obviously we'll hear from the presentation show that they want an increase in the seed funding that needs to be allocated to them. And that's understandable because their area of responsibility or their work responsibilities are on the increase. And as such, they need more funding for that particular people. We are currently also working on the seed funding for 2008-2009. Which will enter that in more allocation to the Informatics CMA. And lastly, obviously, the most critical area is around the delegation of countries, which we are in the process of negotiating with the head office, as well as the live functions within head office. These are the functions that Informatics will be expected to undertake as and when we see them developing their own capacity. In our evaluation of the annual report, we have actually noted the following, that we are aware that Informatics is currently totally dependent on drug subsidies, and that's actually true because the revenue that Informatics will be expected to collect in this is being collected by drug currently. So as a result, they are very totally dependent on the subsidies that come from drug. And it is within the National Water Act that we need to support them in the initial phase, that is from the time they are established up to the next 5 years, up until such time we are confident that they've got the right capacity. The ICMA defines its ceiling for expenditure, meaning that they've actually now indicated to us what is it that they believe they will be comfortable with regard to the revenue in order for them to be able to execute their budget. Obviously, over a given time period, they will be expected to recover all the water resource management charges that will be delegated to them in due course. And lastly, the annual report reflects the execution phase of the institution, meaning that it gives us a year-on-year establishment process. In other words, what the ICMA will be going through up to the time when they are finally independent to stand on their own. The business plan, which is the other aspect that we evaluated, this is a three-year business plan chapter. You can see that it's from 2008 all the way up to 2010. In that business plan, the ICMA is actually given us an indication of the things that they believe we need to be handing over to them. The first one, chapter, is the delegation of functions to the ICMA, which I alluded to earlier on, which we are in the process of finalizing as a department. The second one, in that delegation of functions, we need to also talk about things like billing, meaning how they are going to recover the revenue from water resource management charges, how they are going to determine their tariff, and how they are going to collect their debt or their revenue from the user that they will be collecting revenue from. The Informatics CMA has also initiated the development of a catchment management strategy. Catchment management strategy is actually a requirement within the National Water Act for each one of the CMAs to develop. In it, what they do is they indicate to us or to the department how, for instance, they are going to manage water within that catchment, within that Informatics catchment. And lastly, they've initiated a participation process where they consult with all the water users within the catchment. And what I can say to the portfolio committee here is, initial phase, we're getting very good reviews from the stakeholders on the approach that the ICMA is actually followed to make sure that each and every stakeholder is actually consulted, and not only consulted, but they're capacitated so that they can play a meaningful role in this particular ICMA.
There are obviously challenges, Chairperson, that we have to grapple with until such time this ICMA can become a fully fledged and functional entity. The first challenge that we have to deal with, which we are actually in the process of finalizing, is the finalization of delegation of functions. I indicated earlier on in my previous slide, Chair, that there are certain functions that will need to be delegated to the ICMA, and we are busy with that. And of course, it is a challenge in the sense that it will have to require quite a lot of effort to convince some of the line functions to delegate some of their functions, but that's being done at the moment. The second area, which is a challenge, Chair, is the whole issue of policy decentralization on SAP, as well as the WOM system, which will need to decentralize to the ICMA. You might be aware that the SAP program is actually a new program implemented within the department, and obviously it's being tested to see whether it's going to be functional. So we want to make sure that once it functions properly, we transfer it to the ICMA. We don't transfer things that are not going to be operational by the ICMA. The third area is around the collection of water resource management charges, billing and data management, which needs to be transferred to the ICMA. Once again, there are challenges with regard to that. You are aware that currently at the department, we are finalizing our database with regard to the charges and the billing. And I think we are getting on top of it, Chair, Sarah will allude to it as well, that we are getting on top of really making sure that we have the right database with regard to our consumers, the stakeholders that we have to deal with on a day-to-day basis. So even that one, that's an area that we want to sort it out in-house so that we can transfer it to the ICMA. And lastly, we got a pilot project on water allocation pledge, which will need to be synchronized with the vision that the ICMA is actually set for itself. So all of those things, obviously, are work in progress, wherein what we are doing as a department, we are trying to align with the work of the ICMA. With that, Chairperson, I want to thank you very much. So that's our short presentation with regard to how we are playing oversight on this very critical institution that we have established as a department. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Silas, for that presentation. Before we can hand over to the Nkomati Catchment Management Agency, can I ask Silas to introduce them to the committee? I'm also sure that all of them, they know the members, because I'm from Humana, and I know Mr. Gopa, you know Mr. Govinda, but can you just introduce
them for a day. Okay, thank you very much, Chairperson. The first person to be introduced is Nanda Governor, who is actually the 18th Chairperson for Nkomati Chennai. You are aware as the committee that the Chairperson, Ms. Patience Nyakane Maluka, was actually involved in a car accident way back in July. She is still in hospital, and we are not sure as when exactly will she be released. So he's actually acting as the chairperson for now. The second person next to him is our FYL CEO of Nkomati CMA, Zilin Jovu. I'm sure you'll get to hear much about him when he does his presentation. The next person is, I'm not sure whether it's still seconded from the department or whether it's fully employed by the department, by Nkomati CMA, but he's the man who makes sure that the finances of ICMA are actually in the right setting, and we are actually quite happy with the work that he's actually done. Thanks, Chair.
His name?
Oh, okay. Oh, it's Gary Roberts. Sorry, Chair.
Thank you very much. Can we now invite the comments?
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Chairperson, members of the Corporate Committee on Water Trade and Forestry. Good morning. Thanks, Alex, for introducing the team. Chair, this is obviously our first invitation to this committee, and it's definitely an honor and privilege to present the annual report as well as the financial consortium to be established in the country. At the outset, I'd like to say, despite the challenges and the hurdles that we face as ICMA, as a governing board member, as well as one of the major stakeholders in the catchment, I'm fairly satisfied with the progress made by the ICMA over the reporting period. And I would just like to maybe just take this opportunity to just compliment the team comprising of the CEO and his administration, together with the governing board members, as well as the Department of Water Affairs, for their integrity, as well as the commitment and responsibility shown towards achieving the ICMA objectives. Alex, if you want to just go to the first slide. I will lead into the presentation and then hand over to Zila, who will take you through the rest of the report. Chairperson, the Nkomati in terms of the CMA, in terms of the National Water Act, is obviously required in terms of Schedule 4 to report its annual report and financials to Parliament, and that's what we're here today. The annual report covers the period 1 April 2006 to 31 March 2007. The annual report is basically premised over the first generation business plan that we have basically produced, developed, and approved by the Minister of Water Affairs and Policy. So we will basically report on the financials as well as the activities around the first business plan. With respect to internal auditors, they have been appointed by the governing board as the internal auditors for the ICMA. And J.K. Sitoli and Co. were appointed as the independent auditors, and that was approved by the AG as well. So with that, the brief introduction, I would like to hand over to Zila, who will take us through the rest of the presentation. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair, and honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, for giving us this opportunity to report on the activities of Nkomati Catchment Management Agency for the period from March 2006 up until, April to March 2007. The National Water Act provides that an established CMA should perform initial functions as described in the Act. It says that in Section 80, it says that the first function that we need to perform as the Nkomati CMA or any CMA that is established in terms of the Act, we need to investigate and advise interested persons on the protection, use, development, conservation, management, and control of the water resources in its water management area. So as we meet today, we will then state what is it that we have done in order to make sure that that function is performed as required by the Act. To develop a catchment management strategy, we will also report physical intent of what is it that was done to ensure that that is complied with, to coordinate the related activities of water users and of the water management institutions within its water management area. We will as well give a report in terms of what is it that was done to achieve this, to promote the coordination of its implementation with the implementation of an applicable development plan established in terms of the Water Services Act of 1997. And lastly, to promote community participation in the protection, use, development, conservation, management, and control of the water resources in its management area. So we will definitely ensure that we show how we have responded to the provision of the Act as stated there. In terms of governance, from that level, as the highest authority to which we report from administration side, the governing board and its committees met regularly to conduct its business in the financial year. In fact, the governing board has established committees, four of them. I will turn out to the audit committee, but I'll come back to it. There are four committees of the board. We've got marketing and communication committee, we've got the technical committee, we've got HR and Remuneration Committee, and lastly, we've got the Finance and Risk Committee. So these are the committees that were established later, and the board appointed an audit committee in order to, comply with the requirements of the TFMA. So these are well-functioning committees. They meet every two months, you know, because of the lot of work that is being done in the moment, simply because we are still establishing the CMA, you know, adopting policies and doing all that so that we are able to have a strong foundation for the catchment management agency. In terms of compliance with the protocol, and also the governing board complies with the protocol on corporate governance in the public sector and the framework on corporate governance of public entities. And the board members carry full for the shared responsibilities in terms of the National Water Act, CFMA, and National Treasury Regulations. Well, of course, in ensuring that we are fully complying, we have developed a legislation compliance checklist so that we can, you know, cross and tick, you know, compliance, you know, with the legislation, you know, so that we don't find ourselves, you know, out of the scope of the legislation at any given, you know, period. And of course, the board has developed a board charter, and all committees of the board have adopted their terms of reference, which lays the basis in terms of how they are going to operate throughout the year. And the board charter is reviewed every year to ensure that if there are any, changes that need to be effected. Of course, this, in terms of the board, this, we have entered into the second financial year, and that process has unfolded to ensure that we capture every corporate matter that are taken into the function of the board. And also that ministerial priorities are incorporated in terms of our planning. You know, what we do in terms of we take the business plan of water affairs, you know, and we then also incorporate, because after January, when the January 8th statement has been issued, and also when the president has announced the State of the Nation of Address, then the minister will come and also address the department and indicate what are the priorities that need to be attained in that financial year. So we then capture that. For example, the issues of the role of institutions of draft in Africa, you know, issues of how achieving and qualified opinions by all entities of the department and stuff like that. So they come in there. So we have been able to incorporate all those matters in terms of our planning. And also, we also look at the pronouncements from the provincial government, you know, what is it that the provincial government wants, you know, to do in terms of, meeting targets related to provision of water for both, you know, households as well as for economic, you know, activities. The interesting thing here is that the premier of the province, you know, the Honorable, T.S. Tima Kwesa, announced in his State of the Nation address, State of the Province address last year, that he would want, he has set five, you know, big, you know, they call them five, the big five of the province, you know, which are the targets that he has set for the province to achieve. And among them, there's water for all in Mpumalanga. And that is actually our own vision, you know, where our vision is water for all in Nkomati. And that shows how we have responded, all of us, to the call of the president that we need to have policy and program alignment in the beginning of the year. So we are also responding to that in that regard. And of course, we don't stop there, but we also move on to ensure that we respond to the IDPs of all the municipalities that are in our water management area. So we definitely incorporate their water service development plan and what their IDP state and the implication of that to the, you know, to the catchment. And then we incorporate that into our planning. And throughout the period, we then interact with them in the various forums that are established to achieve that. So we make sure that there is, you know, alignment, you know, in terms of programs and policies that we are implementing in the water management area. Well, of course, the other important matter in terms of the, maybe before moving on to the next one, when we do the planning, we then seek the representation in the planning process, in the meetings that we convene. We would want the representation from the provincial government a representation from the local government, a representation from the, you know, Department of Waterways and Forests, so that when we adopt our business plan, and of course, lastly, with the water users themselves, we then get AGIs and commercial farmers and everybody to come and make comments on our planning processes, or let me say our targets in that regard. The other important issue relates to risk management, strategy and plan. Well, of course, the board has adopted, you know, has developed a risk register, which we have put up implementation strategies to ensure that we respond to all the risks that have been identified. And this risk register is being reviewed every quarter in order for us to make sure that we keep on track with the development, you know, within the institution and outside the institution, you know, in that regard. In terms of organizational development, we have appointed 13 staff members, and the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry has seconded about 21 staff members, so that we are able to perform all the functions that we have. We have issued bursaries to 9 students, and it's contained in the annual report, and, you know, in terms of what are they doing and stuff like that. One of the important things that we have realized here is that we need to support offer all of the students that we have supported at HCI, all of them, you know, to university. We have realized that we need to move on and support in this financial in the next academic year more students in engineering, because in the previous financial year there was no engineering itself, there were no, you know, serious interest that students have shown in that. And in order for us to build more in terms of this, we have decided that we will then identify a high school, you know, where we will link the incoming CMA with that high school, promote the learning of math and science, supporting that high school, and move on and ensure that those students who pass are guaranteed, for, you know, bursaries to university, so that we are able to assist in terms of ensuring that, you know, there is security, you know, among the students that we are going to support them. And of course, have a relationship with a university, which we have started with VEST University, that we guarantee these students entrance into the university through our bursaries, of course. And of course, in terms of research and any other mental that pertains to water resource management, will then begin to work with the university in terms of that. And they are very excited to work with us in terms of ensuring that this program becomes successful, because we did not want to put it at level where, well, of course, we'll open up to any student that perform, but just to make sure that we are able to build the culture of water resource management, even at high school level, we'll move to that level, you know. The other thing is policies that we have adopted. We have adopted 17 policies, which our policy register has increased now because of the work that has been done, over, you know, beyond the first financial year. So we're almost 6 months down the line in the second financial year in terms of policies that have been approved. Majority of the policies, of course, are HR policies that have been adopted by the board. The business plan was submitted to the minister and has been approved, as indicated by Mr. Salas Leslie. We have got a fully functioning office at this point in time. And of course, the official ICMA launch took place on the 2nd of November 2006, where we invited, because our catchment is not only you know, providing the water resource to South Africa, but it supports also Mozambique and Swaziland. In order to, you know, comply with the Inko Mabuto agreement, which has been signed by the minister and the three, you know, the two other ministers from the other two countries, and we then invited the minister of water, public works and water in Mozambique. He was there. He participated in the launch of the Inko Mabuto CMA. You know, and we also extended a invitation to Swaziland, and they did send a delegation that participated in that. This is intended to make sure that we build a common approach to the resource in amongst all the countries that are relying on the Inkomati River system, and also to make sure that you know, South Africa, of course, the minister is required from us, we need to make sure that we assist in the development of the planet region and of course Africa broadly. And as we're speaking today, we've got a delegation that is in Mozambique today to build further relationships with water users in Mozambique, you know, and we'll of course move on to Swaziland and make sure that we build that relationship with the water users right there so that the harmony, you know, that it has got to be, that is expected in the SADC region, you know, by the country. It seems to be done by ourselves as an institution of government. Well, of course, we have developed an MOU and it has been signed with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry, you know, as Mr. Salem just indicated, and of course, as a temporary measure, because the process of devolving functions to the Inkomo DCMA has not been completed, and the functions also include devolution of funds of systems to the Inkomo DCMA. That has not taken place, from the departmental side. And as a temporary measure, we're putting the personal accounting and payroll system in place in the Inkomo DCMA so that we can be able to report in terms of financial performance. In terms of institutional development and stakeholder involvement, we have effective communication with and participation by all stakeholders. We have developed a database of all our stakeholders in the catchment. We are involving them, like I indicated, when we are approved our 07-08 business plan, all the stakeholders we consulted, they all are happy with the business plan. And of course, we have moved on to set up forums which are there to ensure that the water, there is discussion, you know, amongst water users in terms of how to manage the resource in Africa. Support to the Department of Water Affairs and First Insolvent of Water Association. There is a big issue which the committee is very much aware about, the issue of irrigation boards being transformed into water associations. From our side, we are definitely providing the necessary support because this is not the function that we are supposed to perform. For example, in terms of the Upper Komati Water Use Association, we are providing them with the office space so that they use our office to do their work. We are ensuring that they use our telephones and stuff like that so that, you know, they are able to run effectively as a water use association. But the whole transformation of irrigation boards to water use association, as the committee would know, is a very complicated process. The irrigation boards, and these are institutions which were established in terms of the 1956 Water Act, they, you know, to them, you know, transformation is losing control of water, and the department is working very hard to make sure that we are able to do something to change, speed up the process of changing this. It's a major focus from our side as well, because unless we have transformed the irrigation boards to water association, we will not have managed to make sure that apartheid disappears in the own water resource management completely. And that's where, you know, the challenge is at this moment. Effective intergovernmental relations established. Well, of course, we have met with the economic cluster of the provincial government. We have made that a presentation to them. We have met, we are meeting constantly with the Department of Agriculture. There's a committee which we have called CISO, where we interface with them in order to support the programs that Water Affairs has in terms of expanding, you know, the, you know, economic activities from the agricultural side. So we meet with them to, you know, advise them in terms of, you know, how about the availability of water in the areas where they want to expand agriculture in. And of course, with municipalities, you know, we have got sector forums where all the municipalities meet at the district level, and we fully participate in those, you know, forums to make sure that our relationship with local government and the provincial government becomes sound. And of course, we have moved on to training community development forums. In terms of IWRM, because we know that these are local government developmental forums which we have got to take advantage of. So we have developed a program where we are training them on IWRM so that when they, you know, interface with the community directly, they are able to speak on how important to conserve water and all that. And of course, work committees as well, we have been able to interface with all work committees in our water management area and you know, train them on IWR. And integrated water resource management, in terms of, and all, most of the activities, we drew a program, we called it the River Campaign, where we were creating awareness on water conservation and demand management, where we were creating awareness in terms of course, the CMA itself, where we were, you know, publicizing the water, the National Water Act, you know, as an act of parliament in that regard. So we then rolled out that River Campaign to all our water management areas. And we have been able to give more details here. I think it's over 900, you know, people participated in this program as provided in the report. International links. We have decided, because we have realized that we were not going to be able to develop a CMA which is internationally renowned, so to put it, in terms of our, description. We then decided to benchmark ourselves with other institutions, and of course, after others. We decided to benchmark ourselves with COVIA, you know, this Komati Basin Authority, which has been established in terms of the Inkomaputo Agreement, to benchmark ourselves with that. We have also benchmarking ourselves at the level of operation of the board, as well as, you know, performance of functions in the administrative side, with Rod Salani, which is an institution that is in Netherlands. And this cooperation between Netherlands and South Africa has been developed by the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry. So what we did from our side, we then took advantage of this. That institution has celebrated 700 years, in September. So it's a very old institution. So we then decided to benchmark ourselves with it to make sure that we are performing at an internationally acceptable level in that regard. But there are certain other institutions which are something like in Lesotho, they are speaking to establish CMAs, you know, in the SADC region, there are programs to establish CMAs, and we then support them when they come and visit us to learn how we're doing this. In terms of the catchment management strategy, the second function that I have indicated in terms of the National Water Act is that we need to develop a catchment management strategy as an initial function. We have started to do that. We have appointed a company called Intananipo Consulting, which is a big company, in order for us to develop the catchment management strategy. And this week, they submitted to us the status quo report describing how, you know, water is being used in the catchment. Quite interesting. Our few towns like Malenane, White River, Hazelview are consuming almost 2% of the water. And villages, which consume almost 60%, are consuming less than 1% of the water that is available in the catchment. And that accounts for the problem why villages would always complain that they do not have water when there are the individuals, when the president meets the people, just like that. So this is one of the big challenges. And we would want to work on ensuring that working with local governments, we make available enough water to make sure that we remove this water service problem completely from the catchment side, in the catchment, so that we can perform water resource management functions without any problems. Because so long as people do not have water, though it's not our main function to give water to people for household use, that is the function of water boards and municipalities. But we have got to make sure that we allocate the water to the municipalities so that they can make water available for the household use, which is a very, very important project, which we'll be writing upon, immediately after the completion or in the course of finalization of the catchment management strategy. We have moved on to do the visioning process. Here, we call it Future Search, where we invite all stakeholders in the catchment for them to sit down and be able to develop their own vision, you know, set their own future and agree that this is how we're going to deal with this. Accompanying that is a program of capacity building to, you know, emerging farmers, to black users, because they don't know more about what, much about water resource management. It's more commercial farmers that have been doing this, have been in this business for a long time, and we then work on to assist in that regard. The support and interaction with GRAP on draft water allocation plan. Here, the Department of Water Affairs has initiated a process which complements very well with the catchment management strategy development, where the department, under licensing, which is provided in the National Water Act, they've appointed consultants which will assist us to catchment assessment and all that, so that we are able to develop an allocation plan, which is going to indicate who gets what water. We are supporting the department on that, and we have decided that we would need to allocate to black people, you know, from now until 2014, about 40%. You know, we have revised that a figure of 85% is 40% to HIV, to HDI. And what we further did, we felt that because we are the first CMA in the country, and in terms of how the department envisages to establish further CMAs, there will be eventually 19 CMAs. And as the first CMA in the country, we realize that we do not have only a responsibility to run our affairs in the right way, but further to ensure that we lay the basis for the rest of the other CMAs when established to learn from us. And in order to achieve that, then we have moved on to agree with Best University. We have further agreed with AWAS, if not one, but AWAS, you know, which is an NGO that is in the water resource side. And we have agreed with them that we are going to host a catchment management conference every year, starting from next year, so that we build enough knowledge on catchment management strategy development, so that when the other families are established, they can come and learn from us, we can guide them in the process. And that will not only be these two specialist organizations in water resource management, but we'll invite other professors and doctors who are experienced in this, so that we all meet in one room and look at how catchment management strategies are assisting in the developmental part of the country in that regard. If things go according to our plan, we want to extend this to the SADC region, because we want to, you know, like, there were CMAs in Zimbabwe, they collapsed, you know, in other countries, the same thing. So we want to extend it to the SADC region, so that we can be able to, in line with the objectives of the country, assist in the development of Africa in that region. In terms of water use, we requested the delegation of from the Water Affairs, the delegation of the functions. Mr. Mason, it has on the functions, like issues of systems on water use, because we need to know in real time how much water is abstracted from the system, so that we can know that you know, there is an abuse of the system, or we can control it effectively. So we have got to make sure, we have made a request to the Department of Water Affairs that the functions be dedicated to us. Support the Department of Water Affairs and Process and Compensation Process, that which I've spoken on it. And of course, in this program of water use, there is a very important element that is built in. Because we cannot wait up until we have developed a catchment management strategy that will then begin to say, how do we assist in introducing new black farmers into farming and support using water as a driver. We then have moved on to identify four major projects which are in the catchment, which we have assessed the state of the water availability in the area. We are busy developing a business plan in order to assist the new farmers to get into business, linking them with the market and all that. We are working on that one, and it's quite interesting. We have moved on as well in cooperation with the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry through its rainwater harvesting project to start to introduce small gardens in the various villages where there are no economic activities, so that they can be able to, women who are there can start to, participate in this program. And in terms of financial side, we have worked out financial management, as it is indicated in the annual report that we have got a clean audit. And of course, financial management policies have been adopted, which have been guiding our performance in that regard. And I would want to pause here and give the financial side to Mr. Gary Roberts to give the committee our financial team.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. This is just effectively a very brief summary of the annual financial statements as they are reflected in the annual report. I think one of the things I just need to bring to the committee's attention, that revenue, you'll see it, it's an odd figure, it's 4841637. The actual setup funding received from GRAS, that obviously been entirely revenue received ex-GRAS, was actually 7 million rand. But obviously we have specific programs and expenditure that needs to be matched to that revenue. So what we've actually done is of the revenue of 7 million, we've deferred just over 2.1 million to the 2007-2008 financial year, where that will get utilized. Obviously, operating expenditure, 4.2 million. Surplus from operations before the finance income was 598,000, leaving us with a surplus for the year of 601,000. We go to the balance sheet, our non-current assets, 595,000, current assets, 2.9 million, total assets, 3.5. The net assets, obviously the surplus carried forward of 601,000, non-current liabilities, 202,000, and then current liabilities, 2.7 million. Obviously we are paying our accounts. The majority of that comprises that 2.1 million of deferred income that we've carried through to 2007-2008. And that gives us our net assets and liabilities of 3.5 million.
In terms of the challenges that we are experiencing, as Mr. Mbete has indicated, the first one is the establishment of business processes for the funding of the SME, so that we can be able to have continuous and reliable funding throughout the financial year. That is one of the challenges that we're experiencing, and we have had several meetings with the CFO of the Department of Water Affairs and Forestry in order to get this matter sorted out. The second one is the fact that there was a delay, Mr. Mbete has alluded to this, in terms of the signing of the MOU, which then created a bit of uncertainty, because immediately we started setting up the administration of the CMA in May 2006. Staff were informed in the Water Affairs that they would move into the CMA, but that took a long time and it created an anxious situation, for them, because they wanted to, they were not sure what's happening, and of course impacting on business in that regard. The other one is about delegation of functions. We have spoken about that, which if we are able to resolve quickly, we will be able to make sure that all the water resource management functions are performed in under one roof. The other one is about coherent support from the department. Here, what we mean is we realize, for example, institutional oversight, which Mr. Mbete leads, and I'm not saying this because he's here, it would support us fully, but say, where systems are run, say, another office where systems are run, they are not necessarily at the same speed with institutional oversight. And that can create a problem, because you will find that when we expect something to happen, it doesn't happen because another division is not ready to, assist us at that point in time. But we have been working very well in terms of all the process that is related to the running of the industry with visual oversight as the contact point that we relate to in what happens. And of course, I think Mr. Mbete has indicated that the whole transformation of the department moving from being an implementer of policies into policy development and regulation creates uneasiness. in the department. So people are finding it difficult to let go, you know, in that context, you know. So I think we need to, it's a human element, we need to appreciate that there's no change that goes so smoothly that people do not get affected or are not afraid of the situation in whatever way. In conclusion, we have received a clean audit, and we are very happy to report to the audit committee that this is the state of our finances. This is how we've been able to run our finances in the year under review. The IFMA is in sound financial position and is operating as a going concern. The positive stakeholder perception of the CMA, we really are seen as an agent of change and committed to service delivery. The very, very critical is that we need to, like in relation to the issues of delegation of functions, we need to make sure that we move the whole development trajectory, and in terms of our path, in terms of service delivery, we have got to make sure that we are able in the shortest possible, you know, time period, to make sure that people can see water available in the areas where they want to use it. Imagine farmers must have water in the real sense. We must assist them. You know, municipalities must have water, all that. At that point where we will be able to make sure that we have got, you know, water users that are with disadvantaged in the past, having been, it will make sure that we boost the confidence in the informatics CNA, you know, going forward. So this is a very, very critical issue that I think we should be able to run. At this point in time, there's great support for the CNA from both commercial and innovating farmers, you know, of the area. There's no, you know, sector which feels alienated in the process of, you know, of the institution in that regard. And of course, we're giving priority to addressing the past imbalances, as indicated in our catchment management strategy development, that we want to have 14% of the water, you know, transferred to black farmers or black users, you know, in 2014. Over and above that target, we may have an additional water that may go into this, what we'll manage ourselves. But we may have an additional water that becomes available to historically disadvantaged individuals when the land reform program is finished. Because water is applied on land. And in that context, it will mean that when a farm is transferred to an NGI, there is no way that the water is not going to be transferred to the new user in that regard. So that our 40% excludes that. We want to take to have that complementing what we have set as our own target in that regard. So there is a very strong relationship between and the land reform program and, you know, provision of water for productive use in the area. Well, of course, I think I'm told that about 40% of the land claims in the whole country are coming from the water management area, which means that there will be a very big change in terms of land ownership and water, control or having access to water in the next few years, you know, going forward. Thank you, Chair.
May I first start by applauding the committee for the presentation. I think it's quite illuminating and it's quite understandable to ordinary people like us. But may I inquire about the following? How do you interact with the stakeholders, such as you mentioned the Department of Local Government and Housing, and how often do you meet? Second question would be, what incentives do you provide to keep your staff from being lured to other greener pastures? I'm talking about those people that you train, for instance, in order to enhance your capacity. After training them, I'm talking about those incentives to keep them on the job. And thirdly, you are only subsidized by dwarf. When will you become of age? How effective is your transformation program? And lastly, at your annual forum that you are prepared to stage, where you have doctors and professors, how do you download this information to the imaging power? Mind you, these are people who are not as literate as you and I. How do you download that information to them? Some from the, well, over and above from the education side, but just ordinary understanding, the techniques involved in this particular program. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner. May I also add my quote of compliment to the very fine presentation. Mine are very straightforward and simple questions just for clarification. Under organizational development, my staff is very encouraging that your staff is being filled in fairly rapidly. I'd just like to say, you know, the demographics of that staff complement the youth, the disabled, and the gender. The other is about the Water Users Association. So where are you in the main? You refer to opportunities for production water use by emerging farmers. I think this is something that we're all very concerned about, emerging farmers. How many such farmers are being assisted? Where are they located? Could you throw some light on the delays in the signing of the memorandum of understanding? Where are the issues? And finally, you say you've got about 17 policies adopted. Could you also give some indication what areas these policies do cover? Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Chair. May I also join those who have applauded the entity for a very good report, but I must start off also by congratulating the department, you know, for successfully launching and continuing to support this new baby. My questions are also very straightforward. I have noted that you made mention of assisting a particular hybrid actually adopted it, I believe. My question would be, what kind of criteria do you apply in terms of selecting any specific school in a given area? You also are assisting in terms of service. How confident are you that this initiative is sustainable in the long term? And then coming to your international link, I note that you invited a minister from Mozambique. May I just ask which protocol you have to observe, you know, when you invite a minister from another country? I did not get a sense that our own minister was involved. Maybe I'm missing a point here, but I just need some clarification. With regard to Lesotho, you are assisting them in terms of plan to establish CMA in the country. Are there any financial implications to you?
Thank you, Ms. Malikian. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for talking with your new baby that she has created. And the publishing channel. I just wanted to find out, you know, if you in your submission you are actually touching our concerns. You say on your second slide on water management that you have opportunities to produce productive water use by making farmers develop. I just want you to elaborate your relationship with the farmers and how the Indian farmers, how you are involved in maybe trying to give water supply. You also saying you working with that award. I just want to know what is this award you say to an NGO? Who are they? Where are they based? You also explained that you have this relationship with local government. Can you explain how you assist them? Because the reason why I'm saying this, we are actually worried about the capacity that the local government is having in as far as assisting water to people to get water to them, let alone the funding and other ways. There are new entities that are just having enthusiasm and giving us confidence that maybe something will move. Even our plan, which has been our department for long, Trevor, we are in our hopes to show them, because it has been our eager all the time that people should have water. And the president eager to see that people have purified clean water to drink, and we are not excited. We are sad, but we have not got there. Chairperson, I'm not very good in numbers, but I would like them also to explain the numbers. Before that, I mean their financial statements. Before that,
we have had in the recently in the radio and the podcast that Gelman has actually been affected by, it's your area, has been affected by it's just Gelman. Are you assisting there to see if that is actually done away with? Because every time they are the target, so people will be able to cut. On page, I can't see your page.
What's the right?
Cash for statement. I just want to get an explanation. Cash flow statement. It's notes to the financial statement. That I see the list, they say members remuneration, non-executive members, fees for services, health board members. I just want to know what are these reimbursed allowances? Can they just explain to us what are these reimbursed allowances? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable members, I'm suggesting that you can give the opportunity to the department and the CSA to respond before we can continue with the next set of questions.
Okay, thanks Chair, and thanks to honorable members for the questions that have been asked. I will start off by the first one, which wanted to know about how do we interact with local government and how often do we do that. We have got a water sector forum that is every after 2 months, where we have got in our structure, we have got a division that we call institution and participation. We have got people who are dedicated to deal with issues of intergovernmental relations, we call them institutional specialists. They then sit in all these meetings in the water sector forum in the district municipality level. These people have got also a responsibility to visit the municipalities as and when this is required to assist the municipalities in terms of issues of water resource management. So our interface in between the water sector forum, we then interface with them through direct interaction with a municipality. These specialists have been allocated specific municipalities, rely on a particular river system. We've got three systems. We've got Nkomati, we've got Crocodile, and we've got Sabi and Sen. Sabi and Sen, we call it one system. So we have got one person that is dedicated to assist institutions, especially local governments and efforts of provincial government and national government at that in terms of that river system that water users are relying on. So they are fully dedicated there. Below that level, we have got people who we call them community officers. They then interface with the with the community direct. With small scale like gardens, women who are, doing some production at a garden level, then they then support at that level. So this interaction is reliable, is constant, and is shared by the district municipalities that we are able to interact, which are affected in our water management area. The next question was about incentives to serve. Let me accept that this is a big challenge in the South African economy today. We had a very, very good HR manager. We were very excited that our recruitment process was able to deliver us this lady. H.P. Davidson, you know, is an international company. Smashed her from us without even interviews from their side. They just give an offer and she had to leave. And there was nothing we could do because we could not match the salary that was offered from by BHP Lutin, you know, as a private company, and we are a cluster of government in that regard. But what we have done from our side, we have got, I would call it our philosophy in terms of HR. We are saying it's learning for work experience. We are, you know, encouraging our staff to learn, you know, increase their knowledge levels in water resource management. And we want to ensure that we are able to we give them buzzers. But we have not had a good response from their side, though we have got this. I think we need to do more to ensure that they are able to, take this. Our policies, though we are moving from water affairs and forestry, because that is a very important foundation in terms of making sure that when we absorb staff from water affairs to the income SMA, we don't have salary disparities. We have to use that as a benchmark. Our movement is to move more towards giving more better salaries and benefits, you know, so that we are able to retain the staff. But we have not been able to arrive there because of the fact that we did not want the meeting point where we transfer staff to the income SMA to find that there are disparities and there is a jump of salaries, you know, because as you know, legislation will not allow us to go down. You know, you can only upgrade the salary, you can't do it. So this is the challenge, and this has the match point has come in right now in August. So we have not been able to develop more on that regard, but it's a major area of focus. We, of course, the interesting phenomenon that we've been exposed to now is that the competition is not only at the level of staff employed, also in the university for those that have given buzzers. Another company took one of our students, which was sponsored in terms of the buzzers, because they were offering better buzzer conditions, you know, to these students. And we were very disappointed that the competition was persisting head on. Unfortunately, it goes beyond that. But what we are doing is to ensure that our program includes internship, of course. When they complete, they must be guaranteed to be interned in the institution from university. And from there, then we'll see how we support them to get into the structure. But the good thing is, if we can't afford to take everybody that we've supported in the in our institution, we have got a very serious problem of skill shortage in the water sector generally. Water affairs has got. When I started getting more exposed to business of water affairs, you know, the period that an employee would stay in the water affairs was almost 1 year. Now it's almost 6 years. It's 6 months. You know that you find a person appointed, stay there, and we then move on. And this is creating a serious pressure, and we think that there will be enough room to absorb all those, you know, and with the number of areas that are going to be established, they will be able to absorb and, you know, those buzzers that we are able to support at the university level.
Okay. So maybe just on the issue of staff retention, I think, which is obviously a concern to the board as well, but I think we have highlighted that the sooner we start to get the required delegation of function, the sooner we'll be able to... the sooner we'll be able to start to collect revenue as the CMA, which means then we can just relook at our policies around remuneration and the benefit that goes with it. So the sooner, I mean, that's what we are planning in the next 3 years, that we have to improve our remuneration and benefits. And I think one of the ways is around the delegation of functions. So our target is to, as a board, is to fast-track those delegations. The sooner we start building and getting the revenue, which is now actually going to the Department of Water Affairs, the sooner we'll be able to manage our own finances and become more self-sustaining going forward. Thanks, Chair.
Okay.
The next question was about financial independence. When are we going to be financially independent? This is a major issue which we have discussed at the board level. Because it's more reliant on delegation, firstly. We have got to get the delegation to build the water infrastructure. We have got to get the delegation to do monitoring. We have got to get the delegation to, you know, we've got to take the system, you know, that water affairs has gotten, especially the database, which is going to assist us to understand how many, you know, water users we have in a water management area, how many are farmers, and how much are they paying, and all that. So, you know, it's very much linked to the issue of delegations, and unfortunately, we have not crossed that level where we have got delegations, you know, given to us. Yeah, I would say that this is one issue that we have got to. But the department has started a program called Validation and Verification Study, where they are verifying water users in the water management area, checking whether those who use water are legal, so that they give us a database that is more reliable, and they can be able to, you know, we are not going to have legal challenges by issuing invoices to wrong people or having wrong calculations and stuff like that. The moment that study has been completed, if that study will be completed, you know, in fact, after the study has been completed, we will be able to know and begin to quantify, you know, the volume. That also pertains to what is legally, you know, allowed for a particular water user to take from the system and apply in agriculture or wherever. So we will consider, we're looking at that study to assist us in terms of determining, you know, how we're going to become independent. That becomes the issue that we've got to work very hard in terms of, you know, ensuring that the delegation comes, you know, from the department side. It's very difficult for us to give a very definite answer unless we know the delegation will be coming this time. The other one is, how effective is our transformation program? And I assume this pertains to our staff establishment. Gender equity, you know, issues of, you know, people with disability and stuff. Currently, all the staff that we have appointed are from the, you know, SDI, all of them. And, you know, maybe it could be our current property is at Halloran, is a service provider and it's from the board. So, but all those we have appointed are all from the SDI in that regard. And there's a mix of youth, you know, young people and those who have got the requisite experience in the various fields in that regard. I would say that women are almost considering 50% of the staff establishment as it now. The biggest problem that we experience is getting women at senior management level, you know, those that would report that to the CEO, just like that. You know, because you hardly find women who are well qualified in water resource planning, you know, engineers who are women are very rare to find. And this is one of the areas in terms of supporting students to go to university that we pay attention to in that regard. And there's a good report. We are beginning to have hydrologists that are women that are coming, we are supporting in the study as can be seen in our report. So there is, we are very strong in terms of issues of transformation. The CMS conference and how will we make information accessible to the HDI? The first thing is that we have taken note of the fact that you cannot have a meaningful contribution from the HDI unless you have first trained it, you know, provided training. And hence, we have, you know, started with the training. We, in terms of the development of the CMS, we have also, we are moving towards getting a dedicated service provider who is going to train specifically AGIs in order to raise their level of understanding of these complex matters, so that when they interface with commercial farmers, they should be able to have confidence to raise issues and relevant issues in that matter. So that's how the training has started, and we're moving, and that was internal, you know, training that we've been running from our side. But we want to move on to the assistance provider, which is add more in terms of more complex stuff that we are involved in. The conference, the CMS conference that we'll be running, we will obviously have direct participation by, you know, ACI, and make sure that they get capacity in all of that, you know, processes in that regard. I think I've also touched on the demographics of our staff. I think, I may not have the short breakdown here, but the overall is that all that we've appointed from the 13, you know, about 14 staff members that we have, all of them are from the intellectually disadvantaged individuals. And how many farmers have we assisted, and where are they? In terms of the opportunities that we have identified, these are new opportunities. Maybe it will be, you know, I would start from, you know, explaining the process of identifying the opportunities. What we then did was to convene meetings in the sub-catchment, you know, where the farmers are. Convene meetings then, request them to give us projects which they think are going to be viable. Then we consulted them, and these opportunities are coming from the water users themselves, ACI. After they've given us the information, we then embark on a study to, you know, validate the information that we get in, understand whether these are really viable projects. And that is where then come to the fore. There were almost maybe about 20 projects that we identified. And with those which we felt we can be able to support at this point in time and are viable, and we create a number of jobs. We find four of them that are out there. And these projects are found in the Mkutu. One is in Mkutu area. The other one is in Chochocho, you know, the Jingle Bay area, for those who know Bushback Ridge area. And the other one is it's in the Allengay area. It's another area down there in Vietnam. Quite interesting. When you look at the way the area, which is our water management area, the Nelspruit area, the Malelane, the Babashon area, all that area has been is under land claim, in the sense that you hardly find very strong commercial farms, emerging farmers, especially where there were, you know, white farms, you know, in that regard. So you could not find very viable projects there because the land is not owned by ACI. At the bottom, in the Komazi area, we have got almost about 2,000 emerging farmers that are fiscal in the sugarcane area. And these are farmers which, in the water allocation reform program that we are running, we are going to support in terms of having access to water. We once flew over the water management area, and they was there. Quite very interesting thing. We have got that. This is a plot that is owned by an AGI. You will see it by, you know, the brownish type of sugar cane they have, where you have got commercial farmers, it's very lovely and green, you know, that sort of thing. And this is the challenge that we are dealing with, and we are moving towards supporting these emerging farmers to make sure that they have got green access to water, and the 40% seeks to address specifically this issue. So that's how we're moving in terms of this one. The delay in terms of the signing of the MOU, like I indicated earlier on, changes take, you know, unless people are assured that they are not going to lose their jobs when they change, they will not let go of the function. And I think this is the biggest problem. Our Honorable Minister, Ms. L.B. Hendricks, convened the workshop, I think it was on the 29th of last month, where she was able to pick up on this point and say she can understand that frustrations that Inkomatise may experience is simply because of fear to let go. People are not sure about their future, and I'm hoping that the minister is going to address this one, because I think it affects the way business is done. The 17 policies in terms of their focus areas, this has been on finance and human resources in the name, because we have got to lay that foundation in order to create an environment for effective development of functions. Of course, the supply chain management policies, you know, procurement and all that, you know. What criteria have we used to select the schools? We have developed a conceptual framework. for us to be able to satisfy the school. The school has, you know, which we and whereby, and inside the area where it must come from, in the formal area, where there are these 2,000 farmers in the sugar cane. Because what we feel is, unless we train young people from the area where there are problems, where, you know, if likely, we will find that the child comes from an emerging farmer, we will not create a very strong bond. In fact, we wanted to just create that strong bond between the, you know, worker users that are experiencing problems, training their children to become farmers if possible themselves, and get and play this game as it happens in the call phase. Because we felt that this is going to add very strong value because there are problems. If you identify high school from far, you will find it difficult to bond that person with the area. You know, so this hour we've been approaching it, and we hope that this is going to work. You know, we hope very strongly that it's going to work going forward. The other issue is about sustainability of the issue of other rights. I think I've related to it earlier on in terms of the shortage of skills in the water resource management. Very huge problem in that area. The protocol for inviting minister from another county.
So,
yes.
In top of the Elizabeth and FT for 10 minutes, then come back.
The next one was around the protocol. Okay, it was around the protocol for inviting the minister from Mozambique, or you know, ministers and also presidents, so to put it. Unfortunately, Mr. Mbezi has gone out. We agreed that he's going to respond to it, but I can not, you know, respond as well. Because we took note of the fact that we are a parasitic of water affairs, and we don't have direct, interaction with other countries without water affairs taking the lead. What we did from our side, we conceptualized the whole thing, the whole issue that we need to, in the launch of the e-commerce MA, to involve the other countries which rely on the same rivers that we are relying on. And then we coordinated with water affairs. And the Department of Water Affairs followed the necessary protocol that is in place. I'm aware that the Mozambican embassy was playing an important role as well in that coordination. It was more done by water affairs, but from the whole issue was initiated and conceptualized from our side. The other issue is about financial implications in our assessing institute. The whole thing, the issue is we don't, for ourselves, from our side, they are the ones who come to us seek information, and we communicate it at a low level where we phone each other, you know, email documents, just like that. But it is not, we don't travel, we don't fly to Lesotho to Lesotho. They are the ones who come to us to seek more information if they want to have more hands-on experience in terms of how we're doing this. The other question pertains to, you know, we're supposed to elaborate on the opportunities that we've identified for productive water use. And I think I've already responded to this one to say it's in the Mkutu, it's Allendale, Chocho, just like that, in the Bushbuckridge area. I think I've seen honorable member of the committee who comes from the area, you know this area very well. Okay, the award, this NGO. This NGO is based in Klaseri, in a facility, it's popularly known as Best Rural Facility in Klaseri. I think the honorable member knows the place as well. So it's led by a certain lady called Dr. Sharon Pollard,
it looks like it has been, it was, you know, supported by that in the beginning, but it has now, it is independent, from that, in that the Gado is operating in that facility area. Their special focus is on water resource management only. They are the ones who ran the process of towards the establishment of the Incomas MA, the development of the business case towards the establishment of the Incomas MA. It consulted with the water users in that process of the establishment of the Incomas MA. They further moved on and developed the guiding principles for the development of a catchment management strategy, which will be, which guides the whole process, and which will lay the basis for us, hosting that catchment management strategy conference that we are anticipating every year. So they have been very much involved in CMA, so much so that they have got a lot of knowledge in that regard. The next question was, we needed to explain our relationship with local government. And I have already touched on it earlier on. The other question was about the Delmas problem. The response is going to come from the department. They are ready with that one. And the financial question in terms of what are the reinvestment allowances, I will leave it to my colleague here.
The reimbursement allowances are solely reimbursement for travel and the use of personal motor vehicles. And for that, we actually utilize the rates as specified by the Department of Transport. Not the AA, so this is the Department of Transport.
Okay, I think the special advisor will then take the question on the Delmas issue. Let me address the issue of the water resources in Mozambique as well as the Minister of Natural Resources in Swaziland. The invite is done via the Department of Foreign Affairs. We followed all the necessary protocols that have to be followed with regard to the invite. And that's why it was so easy for them, for instance, when they arrived at the border post, the Foreign Affairs had actually spoken to the migration guy to just escort them through. So it was a very lovely experience on the part of the Minister of Water Affairs from Mozambique. So that is the procedure that we did. Thank you.
Yeah, and maybe just in addition, the other question was, it was not coming clear whether the Minister of Water Affairs and Forestry did attend the function.
She was actually at the function. Minister of the invite was done by our Minister to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, to the Minister of Water Affairs in Mozambique via the Department of Foreign Affairs in South Africa, linking with the Department of Foreign Affairs in Mozambique.
Thank you. The second round of questions. The first question is, I just want to know what is OPIA?
OPIA.
And the main purpose of it. The second one is, just want to know if you held a workshop to all local municipalities in Mpumalanga. If not, what is the number? And the third one is the critical position that is not filled. When are you going to see that all the position is filled? And the fourth one is, what are you doing to see that them that cater for commercial farmers only can also cater for the communities? Thank you.
thank Chaplain. I think I'll go back also to the question of brotherhood. I think it is clear that it is you do not have a number of those that are finished already. But I just want to understand that. Okay. I just want to know whether you could not set up or come up with a contract that people sign that when they finish in school they have to serve you or the government or the department for a certain period before they could be swallowed by other big fishes. Now, also the issue of policies that you have adopted, I just want to know that how many of these policies have you already implemented? Is it easy to be implemented or is it difficult? And then the other one is on the challenges. I want to know what it is that delays the signing of the MOU. Is it the department? Is the problem on your side? Or what is it that is preventing it? Because all of those things are... They don't only delay some issues, they delay the entire process.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Belmo. I think I have a question. My question is, how do you assist and resolve the issues raised by the communities in your awareness meeting, and whether during interactions with the local government,
those issues are included in their IDPs, like, especially on water safety. Another question. Forgive me for coming late. Committed politicians, it's better for them to come late and never come out. I am tempted to say the presentation was good, but I am not one of those who are actually hooked by good presentation, because in our own language we say sometimes things believing. It is not good enough to accept and applaud presentations here, and during news time you see people on media showing because of lack of state deliver. You spoke about areas like Allendale, projects in Allendale, Jindaldale, and so on. To my knowledge, those projects are defunct because of lack of water. And we haven't said anything about Dumfries, which is also, to my knowledge, not in full operating. How viable are these projects? As far as the West University is concerned, or that project which is operating for West Rural Facility, I'm worried about the services rendered by that facility, because when it started in 1984-85, it applied a lot of funding for sanitation and water supply, yet up to date, there is no sanitation and there is no water supply from the facility itself. It is just at my doorstep, first steps. Since you are also covering that area, I would not like to know from you as to why you don't think of supplying the areas of Bushbuck Ridge North with water from the Tassiri Dam, which is very, very near us. And it is used for sports by certain people.
Thank you.
Can I add some questions? One is this about the involvement of a delegation. My question is directed to the department. Do you have a time frame? When are you going to enroll those powers? The second issue is with regard to if I'm in a nation of why is it so long the department to sign this service level agreement? Maybe the developers, and you can share with us what you are doing. The third question is with regard to the KPMG as an internal audit for the DMA. When are you going to establish your internal audit? Or are you intending for a long term to use the KMG? The last is with regard to the bottles. How much did you spend for this bottle?
Madam Chair, for the opportunity to respond. The first question was, what is COBIA and its main purpose? COBIA is an acronym for Komati Basin Water Authority. The Water Authority was established in terms of an agreement between South Africa and Swaziland. And I think it might be in around 1985, during those times. And the main purpose is to, develop, and manage two dams, that is Maguga Dam and Three Coffees Dam. And of course, the water allocation that goes into that during those times. And I think there has never been a change in terms of the South African allocation, in terms of the water available in that in those two dams. And this is one of the major challenges that we're going to, help us to respond to. And it's linked to the issue of dams, which I'll come back to it, about what is it that we need to do around this matter. The next other question was, did we have workshops in all local government areas? Our water management area, the demarcation is based on the hydrological boundary. You know, when water rainfall falls, the behavior of the water after rainfall, the behavior of the runoff after rainfall. We don't think, and the reason why we said the department is going to respond on the Delmas issue is simple because Delmas is not belonging to the Nkomati water management area, but it falls under the Olifant water management area. And I think, and it's a water services problem. And I think the department, the fact that Mr. Sebabaza has arrived, he will take that question forward. Our water management area has got 8 local municipalities and 3 district municipalities. We have had workshops and direct interaction with all the municipalities, 8 municipalities and 3 district municipalities that we have in the water management area. We have got all the dates when the workshops took place in each and every local government area in that regard. The next question was about the appointment of the critical position as this is the CFO. CFO and the others that are there, company secretary, marketing and communication officer, accounting officer. With the position of executive manager, corporate and finance, which you can in simple say is the CFO, we have advertised that position 4 times. Having advertised, we could not find suitable candidates because
also financial management has become a red skin, you know, in the country, simply because of the economic boom that we are experiencing. So the last, in, I think last month, we, that was the last advertisement that we had made. We offered the job to a certain lady who was working, you know, still working in the Department of Water, of Environmental Affairs. The moment she submitted the letter of resignation, she responded back and said she was offered, she was counter-offered and guaranteed that she's going to get a job, another position above the position where she was. And we could not do anything because for us, what we could offer, that was the highest point, because the next point is to be a CEO. And we could not offer do anything. And that's how we lost, the opportunity to fill that position. But what we then said again was to, go to recruitment agencies and say, can we then find out whether we can get, by any means, another person who can come in and mend the position. And we are still waiting the response from the recruitment agencies in that regard. In terms of company secretary, the same thing came, was experienced. You know, the person declined to take up the offer, and we have, moved on to request, these recruitment agencies to assist, because really, when we advertise, we are not able to get the right people. And I think this was the third time we advertised the position as well. The position of marketing and communication officer is already filled now. So there is a person who is in the position by the name of Cynthia Machimane. The HRD officer, when I yesterday when I was preparing to come, I received a letter that she was declining to take the offer. She was counter-offered in the way she was working in the, Umjindi municipality. There is a challenge. We are fighting for the rest of the few skilled people that are there at the moment. The next question was about them, being, the water available in them made available to black people, whether for household use or whether for productive use. Honestly, this is the bigger challenge. From my side, since I interacted with informatics LA, I don't know how we're going to solve this thing. I think we may need to find a legal advice from, people who are knowledgeable on this. Because, for example, in terms of Drikofi Dam and Mavuga, around Drikofi Dam, you've got black communities that are staying there, especially Drikofi. People around the dam do not have water. And legally, the water that is available in the dam is allocated to the agriculture sector, specific commercial farmers. Now, when you take the water from there, we have got to move either through compulsory licensing or through other ways, and we must be conscious of the fact that there will be legal challenges here. Quite clearly, there will be legal challenges. So I think it's a question that we may need to go home with. With the department to see how best we can deal with this issue, because it's really a serious problem that you have a dam, there are communities who, when they throw a stone, it will fall right in the center of the dam, but they don't have water. It's a serious problem. This affects other dams, which we have in the area. In the process of doing the catchment management strategy, one of the questions that we want to seek to answer is to say, we understand, for example, we'll say agriculture uses 80% of the water available. But that does not tell us where, in terms of, because we come from a history of apartheid, how many black people are using the 80% in agriculture, and what volume are used by black, water users in that 80% that we say is in agriculture. So these are the questions that we need to unpack. And We have got, you know, information from our WOM section. It has not come over. WOM is the system that exists, the database which provides for, which has got information around this issue. Though we don't have reliable information, but it's a very critical information that we need to understand, because we can't be able to determine exactly, besides to say 40%. So we need to, that point where we say we have got 29 black farmers, and these black farmers are using 0.05 of the water available, and then move on from there. That is the critical point that we're seeking to determine. We haven't got that answer for now, and I think we'll move on to find a solution to that one. The next question was about, you know, when we don't have information about how many students have finished, you know, their schooling, having provided bursaries. No, there's nobody, because we started providing the bursaries last year. So there's nobody. There's one student who's going to finish this year. We have started to communicate with that student that she's guaranteed to come and serve in our institution next year. So that is the first one. The majority of them, as you could see in the annual report, are first year students. So we still have got a long way to go, 4 years, you know, or even more in certain instances, pertaining to that one. The next one is about the contract with them. Yes, we do sign contracts. There are contracts that are in place that commit them to come and work with us, or if they work, you know, in government, so that we can be able to provide for this service. But the difficult problem is we then come to a situation where the parents and the students come to us to say, no, we've got financial problems. We have got an opportunity. If you release the student from your side, we will be able to assist the other, you know, children that we have in the family, because there is another one, maybe we will stay at home and stuff like that. And it becomes very difficult for us to hold on, because the family is pleading with us that we need to release the student so that they can do more. And I don't know how best to resolve that type of situation, you know, when it comes again. It has happened once now. Whether it will repeat itself, where we compete for the students at university with other companies, and how we respond to it. I think really it's a difficult situation. And Michelle, when these pleas are coming from historical disadvantaged individuals, it's a very big challenge. The implementation experience in terms of implementation of policies, we are implementing policies, and it has got a bearing in terms of the way in which we have been able to, of the audit opinion that has come through. I would say that our policies are fine, you know, generally, and we have not found problems in pertaining to the policies themselves. I wouldn't say something negative about the policies, except that we need to further improve, because the main challenge is the competition that is made between government and the private sector. I think that is where we need to move on, you know, going forward. The delay in terms of the signing of the MOU has been directed to the department, but the MOU has been signed now in August. Though the whole period of negotiation for the signing of the MOU started in September last year, so it was almost a year that has gone past, you know, without the MOU having been signed. So it has been signed, and I think the department will come back to it to explain much more in detail in terms of the delays that have come through. And now the next question was about how do we deal with issues that are raised in meetings and are they incorporated into IDPs? I would say that from our side, we consult with stakeholders. For example, when we did our consultation on the water allocation reform, the consultants which are being developed an issue list. And then we then take those issues that have been, you know, raised and incorporate them into the document. For example, the document that we are using at that point in time for consultation was Principles for Water Allocation Reform. So we incorporate them through the issue list that has been developed when we're doing the consultation with the stakeholders. But over and above this, in terms of planning, when we develop our business plan, like in this financial year, we made a draft, you know, incorporate all issues that come from, you know, stakeholders, and take it for them to then you know, approve that they think the business plan is going to cater issues that pertain to the challenges that they are facing. Now, from that step, then the board approves the business plan, and then we submit it to the minister. So that then guarantees that all the issues that we have, because when we develop our business plan, we want the business plan to respond directly to the issues which stakeholders have raised, and make sure that the commitments, the program that staff are following are going to give an answer to stakeholders. And of course, what we're looking forward in the future, which and in the board was presented, when we do our quarterly assessment, because we set quarterly targets in terms of the operational plan, we want to build in stakeholder participation in that process, so that when we make progress and we face challenges in the implementation, we are able to get the feedback from stakeholders whether, you know, whether they are happy with the progress that we are making and matters related to them. The next question was, have we got... we have the issue of countries and other places in that regard. I think the statement which followed from the honourable member was that seeing is believing, and as an MP coming from the area, I think it will not have a problem to share more of the business plan that was developed for the project and all that, so that it can be seen that when we say we're a project in Kutu, this is the business plan that we've developed, this is the process that we followed, we don't have a problem, we can definitely do that. Also, the chairperson, I know very well, come from the area, can touch base with us in the office, we can be able to show these documents, but we are honest with the committee in the matters that we are reporting. The projects indeed are there, we've identified. But the critical thing is that being 1 year, 6 months old, we are more at the stage where we are conceptualizing, identifying projects, developing the necessary paper trail and stuff like that before the project starts running. So it's factual that when we can go to the project itself, we will not find the project running because we are doing the business plan, we're doing this, we're doing that, considering the life that we have lived so far of almost 1 year, 6 months. In the business. The other issue was the cluster dam and water being taken to assist in the Akonuk area. Let me also say that the question is a water services problem. It's a water services question in the sense that it's not water resources, in the sense that from our side we manage the water in the system, we can allocate water to a local government. And local government can take the water through a water board or through itself building a pipe and then giving the water directly to the communities to purify in that regard. From our side, we can't be able to take the water from the system and give it to through and build a pipe and give it to and purify it and give it to the community. That is from the Water Services Act side, and we are in the water in the National Water Act side. That's where the divide is. Now, but the critical issue is also that Clattery Dam is in the Olifant catchment. The demarcation between, and it's a funny demarcation, and that's how nature has crossed it. The demarcation between Olifant and Inkomati goes right at Green Bay. There is a small dam on the eastern side of Cylinder Church, that Green Bay West Cylinder has got a church. Down there, there is I forgot the name of that dam, a small dam there. Masebo Dam, exactly. That small dam, we take that area, we take Akonuk itself, we go down to Cotton Lane, we go down to Manyel, just like that. But the water, when you look at Clattery River, it flows into Olifant River and down into Mozambique. So that will become an issue which when Olifant CMA is established, will be able to assist us in taking water from the Clattery Dam into Akonuk and areas adjacent to Akonuk. But in the time that we don't have the Olifant CMA established, we then have got to involve the department. I think the matter can be noted from the departmental side and see how we can cooperate in that matter. But from our side, really, we will not have much to play because the moment that matter comes in, it will require Bush Bagrish Municipality to come into play. It will require Bush Bagrish Water Board to come into play, and it will require the department to come into play. We can only support morally, participate in meetings and stuff like that, but we can't be able to do something practical to solve the problem. The issue of KPMG, whether we are going to continue with KPMG in the near future, and when are we going to build our own internal audit. I would say that the contract between us, in fact, the board in the business plan under review, took a decision that we are going to outsource the audit function, internal audit function. It got decided to do so. And KPMG has been appointed for 1 year, and their term of office comes to an end comes the 1st of March 2008. In terms of what will happen at that point in time, I think the chairperson of the board would take note of this, because the feeling that I'm getting is probably the wish of the committee will be that it will best to have an internal audit built. And that will mean we need to change our organizational structure, provide for this and budget for it, in the next business plan if, we come to that agreement that we need to build in an internal audit function and do not outsource it. And I really don't know how the board is going to take this one up.
So maybe just on that issue, because the internal function is such a critical function, and as the CEO has alluded, KPMG's contract was for a period of 1 year. The board took that view because we didn't have the resources and the ability to perform the function from the outset. So we obviously acknowledged that we didn't want to go into a long-term contract. So the whole idea was to build capacity within the Nkomati CMA. I can just communicate that at the last audit committee meeting, it was recommended that the ICMA review its structure to include for the inclusion of internal audit functions. So that means looking at the appointment of a chief internal auditor and risk and compliance officer to start basically building that capacity within the CMA to start performing these functions. So I think that the CMA was a recommendation from the audit committee to go via the government board, which is coming up towards the end of November now for approval, and thereafter the relevant structures will be set up and the positions advertised and resources employed. Thanks, Chair.
Let me just correct one thing. I was just advised now by Mr. K. Robert, but that is a 2-year contract. I think there's an oversight from me on that one.
So it's 2 years ending 31 March 2008.
That's right. Yeah, it's 2 years ending 31st of March 2008. Okay. So exactly, so the timeline was correct. The next one is about how much have we spent on batteries. I think Mr. Robert will talk about that.
With our first bursary applicants being for the tertiary year 2007, the only expenditure incurred up until the 31st of March 2007 was just under 30,000 rand. And the reason for this is obviously that's comprised mainly of the actual registration fees that the students were required to pay, and effectively the actual study fees would be incurred mainly in the 2007-2008 financial year. But obviously we follow the policies as and when fees fall due, so we make the necessary payments.
Okay, just to emphasize that when we advertised towards the end of 2006, around November, for bursary intake, so that's why the figure doesn't seem to be very high, because we had to start paying
around January, February, March for those that have got salaries in 2007. So much of the money is going to be spent in this, from January, let me say, until December this year. So indeed we are paying, and definitely the figure is going to increase, simply because of the difference between the academic year and the government financial year, or our financial year in that regard.
Madam Chair, if I could just respond to some of the issues which were raised, which are really best answered by the department. And just to preface that, in relation to the question my Lydia asked with regard to Delmas, and also the question that was raised by the Honourable Sibiyane with regard to the Kasseri Dam, I think this is one of the challenges the committee is going to have in terms of dealing with reports from agencies like the Kamasi CMA, in that their geographical area doesn't necessarily follow the areas which you as politicians are responsible for your constituencies, in terms of it being either a municipal boundary or a but they can only really report on their geographical area of responsibility. And it is a geographical area, it follows river boundaries. And if you have a look at their annual report on page 5, you'll see the area they're responsible for. And from that you'll see that Kasseri Dam falls outside on the one side and Delmas outside on the other side. So if I could just put that into context. The other thing I would like to put into context as well is the work that the CMA does in relation to the Nkomaputa Treaty and COBWA. Just to for the committee to understand that their work there, they don't have separate international treaties for that work. That is done in relation to the treaties which the department has in place representing the South African government. So they operate within the broader ambit of those treaties. So they haven't in any way contravened the sections of the requirements in section 102 of the National Water Act, where the minister is responsible for doing that on behalf of the government. If I could then just come back to, I'll deal with Honourable Sibiyane's question with regard to Kasseri Dam. I think, Honourable Member, you had raised a question in the National Assembly regarding the Kasseri Dam, and there was a response provided. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I can pull that response out. There's no change in terms of that response, but I can pull that out again for you. But there was a question raised in that regard, which the department, I think, adequately at the time, we, not adequately, but we extensively responded to some of the challenges around the Kasseri Dam. With regard to Delmas, yeah, it's a local government problem, but the department, through the agencies that have been set up there to monitor the situation, together with the provincial and local governments, have been monitoring the situation. And Madam Chair, I've said already that this isn't part of the CMA's responsibility, it's in another CMA area, but my latest information is that there are in the order of 757 cases that have been reported. Some of those cases are where people have reported twice, so it looks like it's about 621 people that have been affected. From the monitoring which we've taken, which has been carried out by the department, and looking at the records of the municipality, it appears that a problem arose around about the 11th of September, where there was underchlorination and there was a problem with the barriers, in terms of the barriers which the chlorinating would create, and that's when maybe the contamination could have started. Our monitoring over the past couple of weeks does indicate that the tap water shows no traces of contamination now, and that our free chlorine levels are at adequate levels to which meet the Bureau standards, 241 standard. And what the teams are now trying to do is to try and establish why we haven't seen a reduction in the number of cases, because if one looks at the fact that it started on the 11th of September, we've stabilized the water situation, and looking at the incubation period for that particular type of diarrhea which has been prevalent there, we should have already been seeing a downturn in the number of cases reported. So there could be other problems which are creating, which are resulting in the diarrhea, which are not water related. And they're trying to establish that at the moment. And I can't give you an answer on that side. But yes, there was a problem which I think started on the 11th of September, and we stabilized that, and from the water side, there shouldn't be any problems. I'm also advised that there'd be no typhoid related cases reported as well. So that's where we are at the moment. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thanks, Madam Chair. Come back to your last two questions with regard to when are we going to devolve those powers and functions. It will be done, Chair, during the course of the 2008, the coming year, that is 2008. But I must have to indicate here, Chair, that I think, as Zile said, earlier on, we're dealing with human beings, and a lot of people never thought that by establishing an institution like the Incomati TMA, that will actually change their job description completely. And as soon as they realized the impact of what was just about to happen, that's when they started really either not playing along the lines of what they're supposed to be doing, but just postponing things. And I remember sometime this year, we had a workshop of all the health office personnel who are supposed to transfer certain duties or certain functions to the ICMA. At that workshop, we had agreed that by a given time period, I think it was 3 months, that people would have identified the functions that will be devolved to the ICMA and those that will be devolved over a given time period. Now we need to give a timetable. So I fully agreed. But as soon as we move back to our offices, I'm sure people might have looked at it and said, gee, if I do give away with this particular function, it means there's nothing for me. So the biggest problem, Chair, is I do think that at a time when the National Water Act was actually promulgated, in as much as change management and communication were actually done, there are also a lot of new people that came into the system. And we should have actually done change management and communication constantly with at every given year, so that people understand that by setting up a new institution that will have an impact in the job description, in the way in which they do their work. And I think that's the area where in as a department we actually fail. And we are actually now in the process of saying what is it that we need to do to make sure that people are engaged at all times, so that they understand the implications of setting new institutions, their own functions, and how they're going to relate to the new process that we're actually setting up. So that's an area that was actually not actually well looked after, but we were discussing it at ESCO to say we need to embark on that particular program, so that indeed people don't get surprised when they are told to move certain functions to other institutions. But I might also have to share that, to add, share that since the staff of dealing with water resource management have been transferred to the ICMA, I think the situation has changed for better, in the sense that the staff are already sitting at ICMA, so it will be much more easier to devolve the functions, because in any case, there's nobody remaining at the regional office doing exactly the same functions. So the fears that people might have had are more or less catered for, in the sense that people have moved over to the CMA, so it's not only a problem to devolve those functions. So the promise, Chair, is that by 2008, that will be finalized, the devolution of the functions. You have a very second specific question, Chair, as to why did it take so long to sign the memorandum of understanding. Let me indicate, Chair, that during the time when we started negotiating on the memorandum of understanding, the regional office was actually managed by a chief director who then got moved to manage the KZN office. And when he left,
he did exactly like all what other human beings will do. He never shared the information with the person who was supposed to act on his behalf. Now he just took everything and went without briefing the other person. When we went to the new person that was appointed to act, all he said to us was, he knows nothing about what's happening, so can he be allowed to apply his mind so that he can then come to terms with the things that were contained in the memorandum of understanding. And one of the biggest issues there was the transfer of staff. And he stayed with that particular item for quite some time, and at one stage, the document got lost. It couldn't be found anywhere. We had to sign a new one, and we actually went to give it to him physically in his hand to say, there is the document, so that there are no more stories that it was received by a secretary, got lost, or something like that. But again, it's human nature. And he kept that document for a long time to say, what are the implications? It means I don't have any staff to do the work that I'm supposed to do. He said, but understand that when you set up an institution like a CMA, it has got certain functions and certain staff who need to go there. And so we delivered on that for a very long time until in August he acceded to say, we understand it needs to be signed, but what will be the role of the regional office? But again, as you said, Chair, it's a human issue that we need to, maybe for the other CMA, we need to, as I said to you, we need to start the process much more earlier. And so that we get buy-in from, even from within Rasta, to understand that things are going to change. And when they change, they cannot be, in other words, it won't be status quo as they used to know it before. Thank you.
Thank you.
The reply I got from the minister. The reply I got from the minister in the house only stated that the minister was aware of the fact that Bushbuck North has no water for economic development. But we are not going to get water from the Sateri Dam also. I will therefore venture to ask if it can be possible for the department to arrange a sort of an individual in the area to address the question of the Sateri Dam with the people of the area itself. Thank you.
Can I find out from the department when are we going to establish this other CMA? Do we have a time frame or the second issue is with regards to the our visit to Mpumalanga. If you remember, honorable member, when we went to Mpumalanga in 2005, we visited the area of Rekopi. I can say in Malili Animal Party. And we were informed about the illegal connection. They are saying we mustn't use the weak illegal connection. What is the new way, by the way?
Unlawful.
Yeah. Precisely because those communities were saying, here's the dam in front of us, but we're not accessing those waters. That is why we're doing this. Unlawful connection. This may be the CMA can inform us how far they, because the municipalities were saying there's nothing we can do, we don't have any power to report these people to the police or anything. I'm not convinced with regards to the post-regional case. If the CEO is saying those people were given other opportunities, what about number four and number three? Because when we advertise goals, we need to have three candidates, more than three. You can't say we still need to re-advertise. Meanwhile, there were other people who became number two, number three, number four, and so on.
If we can get clarity with regards to that, unless maybe in the same age, the procedure is not the same as the one that is instructed by government. Ma'am,
I understand the issue of parents maybe intervening or asking them. You should not compromise to the extent that you find that you become Father Christmas. Somewhere, somehow, you have to take an unpopular decision, which at the end of the day serves the country and the interests of the poorest of the poor. Because then you are only going, if you help this parent today, the next parent is going to expect that you do the same to them. Otherwise you'll be found to be just doing the same thing until you settle. I think somewhere, somehow, you have to put your foot down.
My comment would be around the response that we have now about the delegation of functions. I just want to observe that it's very critical that this method here attends very early, because I hazard to feel that the entity is finding it difficult to function. I don't know. It should be very, very difficult. Indeed, and there's an element of sabotage, according to what you say, within the department, and this is impacting on the entity, which is very upset. I think we cannot allow individuals to actually intimidate a whole department. It doesn't sound real. And the sooner this is given attention, the better. Because apparently you can't even, determine as to when in 2008 this is going to happen. What then would be the role of this new entity? We, I don't think, as a department, are not giving them a fair chance of succeeding, if you like. So I'm really making a very firm plea that this should be given very, very serious attention. It doesn't sound very good.
Madam Chair, if I could just respond on behalf of the department first before the CMA responses and respond. And just firstly to respond to the issue raised again by honourable members to the honour, I'll pass that request on to the acting DG. I can't respond to it yet, but I'll pass it on to the acting DG. Madam Chair, then your question with regard to time for establishment and also Honourable Masala's question with regard to delegations. If I could just indicate that Minister is at the moment leading a process to look at the establishment of the CMAs. We commonly refer to our Institutional Realignment Program. And out of that program, I expect that very early in January, a statement should come out from Minister in terms of some of those timeframes with regard to the establishment. And the question of delegations has also been taken up into that process as well. So the observations made by Honourable Masala are being taken very seriously to make sure that when we do establish institutions, we don't establish them as a shell, but we establish them in such a way that the institution can start operating and performing or executing its mandate. So those are aspects which will be dealt with and come out as a statement from the Honourable Minister very early in 2008. Thanks, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Honourable Chair. The other question is related to the unlawful connection in the Dricopis area. I can only say that, maybe starting off by saying, the issue of the reallocation of water from Dricopis Dam and Maguga is the issue that we certainly we need to discuss with the department, because it relates more on the Inco-Maputo agreement. So the department in fact should be taking a lead in assisting us to get the matter resolved. It is a serious situation, I agree. The municipality is finding it very difficult to provide water for households, you know, use. I think we'll be able to, you know, sit down and see how best we'll respond to the challenge. The second issue is about the second candidate that was interviewed. When we did the interview, we felt like, you know, there were not so much suitable qualified, you know, people who were, you know, coming there, some of them were not really suitable qualified. But I think we would look at these issues, you know, further, you know, to see whether, you know, because sometimes it's better to have a person who may take some time to groom, but if you have somebody there, I think we'll see how best we relate to this matter, so that we don't come back in the next financial year and give the same response that we don't have this year. I think we'll be able to consider that one.
Maybe I can just contribute as well. In terms of specific positions as well, I think we at the government board, I think we made a conscious decision that we are targeting female. If you look at those positions as well, is that we need to fill those positions with females, because the other positions are actually being filled by males. So we made a conscious decision that for those specific positions as well, I think there's a fair chance that you can get females, and the ones that we have recommended for the first choice was what we were targeting in terms of appointing it, and unfortunately they either declined or were offered a better position. In fact, in terms of the company secretary, the female candidate, although she wasn't the best candidate, she was actually the second or third choice candidate in terms of the scoring, but we gave her the opportunity to develop her into that company secretary position, but unfortunately she also declined the position. So it's those kind of dynamics we can use. So, but as Zuba said, we will have to review the way forward.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The other thing was that the issue was around, in fact it has been an advance, you know, to us that we need to look at the issue of, you know, like if, you know, parents need that we let go at the bazaars, we need to be very firm, put our foot down. I think we'll take it as an advice. I think we'll apply it, because we understand the importance of getting capability and capacity to serve the poor. Really, it's a very critical matter. I think we will definitely strengthen the contracts and make sure that you also at the level of taking decisions, we you know, apply that. I think when we come back, we should not be able to raise matters like this unless if there is a legal challenge and where we have lost a case in court. But in terms of taking decisions, I think we'll consider that one. And though Mr. Trevor Balzer has indicated that the issue of Klaser Dam is going to be transferred to the GDG, I just want to say one small thing, that I have observed that the Inyaka Dam project is extending to Akono for water supply. I know that there is no water that is coming through now, but in terms of building the pipe, I think it must be in the area of Akono by this time. Without, you know, setting new issues, but I want to say that is my observation. It's a water business issue. I'm not having more reliable information, but I think that it has been.
To supply water as far as the Pushpakit North. But that is water for domestic use only. I was also speaking in terms of water for economic development, because last time when I spoke of enough water to cater for both domestic and economic development, it was said Inyaga Dam would only supply water for domestic use. Then Tlatiri Dam is there. And what is saying about is that Inyaga Dam, of course, is there for domestic use, but that water is not there up to now. And it will take years before it can happen.
Thank you very much. Mr. Trevor indicated earlier on that you advised the ex-DDG to visit that area or to have a visa to that area.
But an elderly lady has just died.
A what?
An elderly lady has just died in the area because she needed some water. There was no water in the tank, which we have analyzed, and then she went to a well, which had a drum in it. There is six tried to put water. The level was low. When she tried, she lost balance and died.
Oh, that's bad news. I think we have come to an end of this meeting. The first honorable member who spoke indicated that this report is a very good one for the newly established body like the Komati. Mamma is an elder. Thank you very much from the Ikomati Catchment Management Agency Department. And I'm sure lunch is prepared at the new week. We are all invited to have food there. Thank you very much.